Happy Pentecost. This is one of the great festivals, feasts of the church year, and I'm so glad that we're here together as we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That hymn that you just chanted before the gospel comes from the early 9th century, and Christian communities have been chanting it ever since, including us here today. The Feast of Pentecost actually has even deeper roots. If we go all the way back, it was an ancient festival celebrating the winter wheat harvest in Palestine. In fact, several centuries before Christ even, our Jewish forebears would make their way as pilgrims to Jerusalem to offer the first fruits of their harvest to God in thanksgiving, not just for the wheat, but for all the blessings of their lives represented by the wheat and the abundance in it. They became the gifts of God for the people of God. It was a beautiful tradition into which those who had followed Jesus centuries later were stepping into that particular tradition on that morning in Jerusalem, 50 days after the resurrection. We're told that the city was brimming with pilgrims from all around the known world. They were there making their offerings of life and labor to God. And here's the thing, folks. We gather here each week, and we have an adapted but very similar practice of offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We use our money as the proxy, and the bread and the wine that come forth, again, the gifts from the people around the table in which we share a meal, wheat and wine. The plates are passed not as a begathon to keep the lights on here. They are actually passed as an invitation for you and to me to practice gratefulness, gratitude in our lives, that we might give joyfully as a way of discovering time and again God's purpose in our lives and our connection with God. I know it can become rote as a thoughtless act of repetition, but we are encouraged to see it by that light. And on the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, we're told that the people who gathered in those streets were amazed and astonished at what they saw. They were amazed and astonished. I will admit, friends, it takes a lot for me to be amazed and astonished anymore. And when I am in my daily life, I often am looking upon a spectacle with wary or cynical eyes. I leave little room for the Spirit to break into the normalcy of life's routine. Now, I don't tell this story I'm about to tell very often. I don't know if I've ever shared it with any of you here, but I am this morning with some temerity. I had what I believe to be a mystical experience when I was 15. I was at the church camp back in Arkansas, the equivalent of Camp Houston here in our diocese. It was late one night when I was supposed to be in bed in my cabin, but I was a rule breaker from time to time, and I was out looking for burning bushes. I found myself standing on the edge of a sandstone plateau, which is where the camp in Arkansas was located. It's a beautiful area. The plateau cut out over centuries by the meandering Arkansas River. And it's floods from season to season. It's flooding once more this week. And that valley below the camp is flooded once more. The valley is 1,000 feet below the plateau. It's alluvial plain down there. Fertile loam that is now sown as a patchwork of farmland. It's holy space for me. But on this particular night when I was 15, nearly 40 years ago now, it was a dark night, and I was standing there alone for a long while, watching the storm clouds flicker and rumble off in the distance and gradually make their way toward me. I watched it for a long while, and eventually the mist on the wind began lighting on my face. But then something very odd happened. It did not happen regularly, and that is that the storm cloud just stopped in the valley beneath me, and it let loose a thunderous display for a long while. And in that time, I had this profound sense of the holy right there, right then. And I can tell you, I don't think that I would be here today as your priest if I had not had that experience. It was that special for me. But having said that, I can explain everything that happened using the precepts of atmospheric science. It was a summer thunderstorm, nothing more. But what I can tell you is that on that night, I was keenly aware of God's Spirit, God's presence all around, and I knew it as a holy moment in which I was just simply exceedingly grateful for the moment, for the presence, for the experience, and for the sense that I was connected to God in that moment. It changed me. It changed me forever. Now, I suspect that makes some of you uncomfortable, me talking about that kind of story. You don't have to believe it to be anything more than just a summer thunderstorm. And that's quite all right. Mystical experiences, by definition, cannot be proven. I'm dubious of them altogether. Are they divine engagements, really? Or are they fascinations of the human mind? Or is there any distinction between those two? Whatever it was, I know it served as a seminal moment for me in my faith journey. And what I also know from conversations with many of you is that you have had your own mountaintop experiences, spiritual experiences in which on the beauty of the mountaintop or on the water or in the river or wherever, that you have a sense of God's presence in creation. And I bless you in those experiences. I honor them. But I will also be quick to add that mountaintop experiences will not sustain us on the spiritual journey day by day. They just won't. Our hearts and our souls need regular nourishment to find our way. And here's the crux of it. I am convinced that gratitude is the daily bread we need. I keep a blurry photo in my office here downstairs to remind me of this truth. It's a simple photograph from the New York Times dating back to the year 2000. It was one of those cityscape photos capturing people doing stuff in the midst of the city. It was one of those mornings where I was flipping the paper. It was paper back then. It was flipping the paper, and I was reading the headlines and some articles, It's one of those times when you just are flipping and you finish reading the paper and you don't really remember anything that you read. Does anyone else have that thing? And that's what was happening that morning until this particular photo came into focus for me, real focus. The photo was entitled Hose Baptism, H-O-S-E, hose, like a water hose, hose baptism. It was set on a street in Harlem, where a crowd of people had gathered, a couple of hundred people. There's a haziness to the photo, which at first glance made me think it just wasn't of high quality. But then on further look, it was frothiness that was caused by a mist of water settling down on the people who are dressed in their finery and are just present in the moment, in the experience. They are standing there in the spray of water arcing from a fire hose attached to a fire hydrant off to the side. The water is not forceful. It's not getting anyone soaked. It is settling on them gently. And their faces you can tell that they are pleased with the experience. They are present there. They are even in a state of ecstasy. There's two buses in the background that have blocked off the street, and so all these people are there. And on this day, what I can tell you is that those modern disciples of Christ, I can tell from that photo that they were celebrating and experiencing and living in the presence of the Holy Spirit. They were glad to be there. They were grateful to be there. They were present with the Spirit in that moment. Just as the disciples were on that feast of Pentecost long ago, they were celebrating and experiencing and living in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what does Acts say? They were amazed and astonished. Amazed and astonished. Folks, I want to be more amazed and astonished in my life. Perhaps you do too. That's the portal into being grateful day by day, to find what it is in the world that amazes us and astonishes us and see it as a gift from God. I want to celebrate and experience and live in the presence of the Holy Spirit more day by day in my life. Perhaps you want that as well. That is why this festival of Pentecost is here. This is what it's all about. It is why we baptize today, to remind us of the Spirit's presence, not just for those five that are about to be baptized in our midst, but for every last one of us to know that the Spirit is here with us. But here's the deal. Those ancient disciples had the Spirit with them the day before, and they had it the day after. Jesus told them as much before he left them. You already have the Spirit, the Advocate, with you. He's telling us that as well. The spectacle of Pentecost is in its reveling, in its experiencing and celebrating and living in the presence of the Holy Spirit, but not just for today, but it's the same Holy Spirit who was in your life yesterday and who will be there tomorrow and the next day and the most normal, routine, mundane day of your life if you'll just watch for it. Practicing gratefulness is the way that we see more and more that the Spirit is present in our lives. And if we are able to be amazed by that and astonished by that, our eyes open to it. So on this day, as we celebrate together as community of the Spirit, let the mist of these baptismal waters light on your face today, reminding you of the Spirit's presence on your journey. Smell the fragrant oil of chrism used on those to be baptized here in a few moments. Listen to the laughter of joy that this occasion holds for those around you. Taste the morsel of Thanksgiving bread as it melts into your mouth. And look for the Spirit of God in our midst. Will you see her through amazed and astonished eyes? Will you?